Thursday is the NBA draft. You may or may not have known this, based on both your geography and relative interest in the sport. The draft isn't for casual fans, those who enjoy the sport on occasion, or perhaps when the games matter most, like the playoffs. The draft, for the NBA or any other sport, is for people who care how the sausage is made. It's like people who watch C-SPAN to see the party whip in action before a vote. The NBA draft is perhaps the most intense of all of these kinds of sports drafts, for obvious reasons. Unlike most sports, a single star player can make a huge difference for a basketball team. If you end up drafting the next LeBron James or Steph Curry, your team will be demonstratively better. If you end up with the next Greg Oden, not so much. NBA rosters are small, so each player takes up considerable space. And even though talent acquisition is an inexact science, it's still extremely likely that franchise players will come from the top of the first round, including, of course, the coveted first overall pick. That's where LeBron, Tim Duncan, Hakeem Olajuwon, Shaq, and a long list of all-stars were picked. It's also where the Clippers picked Michael Olajide from Pacific University, so there's that. But at least in some draft years, picking first in the NBA draft gives your team its most legitimate shot at picking a destiny-altering athlete, one that changes the course of your team's foreseeable future. The Philadelphia 76ers want that shot, so they traded their considerably good number 3 overall pick for Boston's number 1 overall pick, a pick they acquired from the Nets in one of the worst trades in sports history that didn't involve Herschel Walker. With that pick, the Sixers will likely select Markelle Fultz, a point guard from Washington who's supposedly this year's can't-miss pick. Now, mind you, Washington won 9 games last year, the only year Fultz spent in college. So if you're expecting him to carry a miserable NBA team to the promised land, or even just the playoffs on his own, you may want to inquire why he couldn't overcome Yale, who the Huskies lost to last year. Now, Fultz won't have to do it on his own, since Philly has had 6 first-round picks in the past 3 years, including last year's number 1 pick Ben Simmons. This is part of the NBA operations now, where teams purposely hit rock bottom so they can rebuild. The Sixers didn't just hit rock bottom, they took up residence there. But now, stockpiled with young talent, they fully believe that one more rock star, in this case a hotshot point guard from Washington, will put their elevator in high gear. So for them, it was worth giving up their number 3 pick and another number 1 pick down the line. On the other side, Boston finds itself playing the futures market, something they've done quite well in recent years. Not counting this year, the Celtics have like 8 first-round picks over the next 4 years. And I'm saying like because there's more caveats in the tax code. They've used other teams' urgencies to build a more lasting future. Perhaps that's paid off, since they finished 2nd in the Eastern Conference this year and obviously can add considerable talent in the future, starting with this year's number 3 pick, which, as many recall, is where Michael Jordan and Kevin McHale and James Harden were selected. It's also where Darius Miles was picked in 2000, so who knows? I'm not a basketball expert, so I can't evaluate the relative talent of Markelle Fultz versus whomever the Celtics do pick number 3. I still argue that Hakeem Olajuwon was a better pick than Jordan in 1984, so I have literally no credibility here. But as for draft philosophy, I'd say this. This process, which is now an event, is different things to different people. To some, I assume coaches and GMs, it's a way to get better fast and cheaply, at least relative to some high-priced free agent that probably doesn't want to play for your awful team anyway. To others, say the fans, it's a way to buy hope, which is way more exciting than results, unless you win the whole thing. In fact, the only fun thing about finishing 2nd is that you might win next year. So, this year, both the Sixers and the Celtics have traded for just that, hope. For the Sixers, it's next year, and let's face it, their fans have waited long enough. For Boston, it's for the next decade, by which point they'll probably own the whole first round. Which means, who got the better of this trade? The answer is both of them, because they both got the only thing you can sell to your fans. And let's face it, Golden State is going to win for the next century anyway, when Steph Curry will still look like he's 18. So enjoy Thursday, Philly and Boston. For the short time being, You're both winners.